Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Continuing with previous messages.
My greatest worry is that there are some churches when you go, you will hear more about the prophet than about Jesus. That is a very dangerous church. In fact, it's a church you should run away from. You will see pictures of the prophets and not the pictures of Jesus. You will hear more quotations about the prophet, no quotation about Jesus. There are some churches when you go, the prophet has become higher than Jesus. Then you know that we have a big trouble. A prophecy that is from God will agree with previous prophecies. That is why I say write down prophecies. Amen. Write down. So when you read it, go and look at it. Go and look at the previous ones. Because God will not tell you white today and say black tomorrow. God will not say go east today and tomorrow say west. You should be asking questions. Either the first one was a lie and the second one is true, or the first one is true and the second one is a lie. At least there must be a lie somewhere. Hallelujah. It agrees with previous prophecies. It does not violate authority. Prophecy does not violate spiritual authority. There are churches when you go, the pastor will say one thing. There is another zealous brother who has seen another. The pastor says, let's fast this month. The zealous brother says, let's fast next month. A prophecy that is of God does not violate spiritual authority. So any prophecy you receive that makes you rebellious is not of God. Prophecy that is of God generates faith, not fear. When you go to a place, when you come back, you are almost dead out of fear. You know God is not there at all. A prophecy that is of God makes you have faith. It makes you believe God more. Amen? It can be something negative, but you will still have faith because it's backed by the Spirit. And faith comes by what? Hearing God's voice. So there is no way you hear God spoke to you and you will not have faith. You have faith, you have confidence, you'll be excited. You'll be better than before you heard it. Any prophecy that makes you depressed is not of God. Amen? Any prophecy that makes you scared. Yeah, and it is people possessed with demons who give scary prophecies. And the intention is to manipulate you to a point where anything they tell you, you must do it. Because you are so scared. You are so scared. And most of the time, they give this prophecy when they are about to take money from you. They set you up. And you know, yeah, this guy, the guy is ready now. And when they see that you are ready, they said, bring this. Then you are running, you bring it. Bring the other one. Then you are running, you bring it. Bring that. Hallelujah. And when you come to a good church like this, you give nothing. A prophecy that is of God does not generate fear. It generates faith. Amen? The last one, the most important, I think, is that you will have personal conviction in your spirit that I am hearing God. It may be a small boy or small girl. If you're really sensitive to the Holy Ghost, you hear a prophecy. Let's read that scripture in Acts chapter 16. You'll see what I'm talking about. Now, it happened as we went to prayer. We went to where? Prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with what? He was possessed with what? Divination met us. What is divination? Ability to consult the spirit realm and to see into the future. And you can go to the shrine and get it. In the olden days, we used to call them fortune tellers. And we knew that they were not godly. And they themselves didn't say they were godly. But now, there are no fortune tellers around. Have you seen some the last time? Because they are all in church and they are calling themselves prophets. They wear suits. Suit doesn't make somebody godly. Amen? This lady was possessed with a spirit of divination. And what did she do with the spirit? Look at it. She brought what? Her masters much profit by what? Fortune telling. She was making money for their masters. Verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying what? These men are the servants of the Most High God. Who proclaim what? What she said, is it not true? Apostle Paul, is he not a servant of God? A servant of the Most High? Was he not bringing salvation to people? Was the girl possessed with the Holy Spirit? Divination. Listen, so you can meet somebody who you've not met before, who can call your name. It doesn't mean he's of God. You can meet somebody who can call your date of birth. It doesn't mean it's of God. You can meet somebody who can tell your problem. All, he can tell everything. All, everything you are going through. It doesn't mean it's of God. Does it mean, Pastor, every prophet who calls people's name is evil? No, that's not what I'm saying. In fact, there are times that the Holy Ghost has spoken the names of people to me several times. But all I'm trying to say is that the fact that somebody said everything about you which was true does not mean it's of God. Amen. So how do you know How do you know? Personal conviction. You listen to your spirit. Look at verse 18. And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed. What happened to Paul? You see, Paul was hearing somebody prophesy about him, and he should have felt happy. But you know how Paul felt? Anytime he hears this girl, he gets angry in his spirit. What bad thing did the lady say? The lady didn't say anything bad. He didn't say, these guys are foolish guys, these guys are liars or crooks. They didn't say anything bad. She said something good, but Paul was still angry. You know, most of the times, when you hear a false prophecy, you knew it was false. But you know why you still kept it? Because you said, oh, the guy saw everything about me. It was true. But in the heart of hearts, you can feel that this thing is a lie. It's not true. Because God cannot leave you to be deceived just like that. You know it. You knew it. But you kept arguing with it. You kept arguing and saying that, no, but wait a minute. The guy said everything about me. He knew everything. I was going, how did he know? How did he know? Hallelujah. Paul was greatly annoyed. What did he do? He turned and said to the spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And the demon came out. And the people became angry. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, hallelujah, the main source of money was gone. So every spirit that is at work to just make money for people is not of God. It's the spirit of divination. And today it's in a lot of churches. Amen? Oh, yeah. I have a problem with churches where you see the pastor's car and you see the church premise where there are people are worshiping and the house where the pastor lives. You'll be wondering who is the boss, whether the prophet or God. Because there are churches you go, you see that it's just business. It's just business. They are just making money. That is it. The people were using the young girl. You come, she'll tell you everything about yourself. You pay, you go away. Whether you're born again or not, going to heaven or not, whether you're working with God or not, whether you're committing adultery or not, they don't care. You come. What do you want? You want to know everything about yourself? Put the money down. I tell you, you go away. And they thought Paul also was interested in that. Unfortunately, most of us, we still want that. In fact, some of you right now, if somebody will say, put money down, I'll tell you everything about yourself, you put the money down. The question is, who told you that once they tell you everything about yourself, that your life will change? Nothing will change in your life. Only God can change your life. Only God. Only God can change your life. Yeah, only God. And there is nothing more powerful than the word of God. Building your life on the word is what gives you the assurance that there is hope for you, that you have a future, that you are going somewhere. The word of God. Amen. So, seven important things that can help you judge a prophecy. It must agree with the word. It must bring you closer to God. It must point you to Christ. It must agree with previous prophecies. It must not violate spiritual authority. It must generate faith in your heart. And the last one is that you need to have personal conviction. Listen, if somebody gives you a prophecy, you are not very sure whether it's of God or not, put it down. Pray about it for a while. Pray about it. Pray about it. Amen. Amen. And when you pray, listen to your spirit well. So that is how you discern prophecy. Amen. Let's finish up with discerning the prophet. There are two ways you judge prophecy. First one, you discern the prophecy. The second one is discern what? The prophet. Discerning prophets means that evaluate them, whether they are of God. My personal opinion is that if a prophet is not of God, don't go listen to him. You are safer. But today, I want to say that in the New Testament, a prophet is not just called to be prophesying. All right. Discern the prophet. The first thing you check out is what? His character. If somebody is of God, his character will reveal it. Let's read Matthew 7, verse 15. Can we read it together? Ready, go. Mm-hmm. Next verse. Mm-hmm. I'm just yelling. Next verse. Amen. One day, a friend of mine asked me, he said, why do you like lashing at false prophets like that? I said, because Jesus did it. This statement is Jesus' statement. Are you with me? Let's start again from the beginning. He said, beware of what? So I need to teach you to beware of what? False prophets. Jesus did that to the disciples. So I need to teach you. Amen? Because where I sit, I hear and see things more than you. Things I can never talk about till I die. One of the things I don't like doing, I don't like talking about any man of God openly, publicly, in church. No matter how bad the person is, no matter what evil he has done, I don't like talking. Because people change, isn't it? What if after I just said a few minutes later, the person has said, Lord, I repent from today. I'm following you. I want you to use me. What has happened? The next time God is using him, but everybody is saying, that's the man who has been sleeping with girls. Or that's the man who has been defrauding people. It's still in your mind, but in God's mind, the person has repented. So when men of God do the wrong things, I don't like talking about it. Unless it's very necessary. Beware of false prophets. They come to you, well, in sheep's clothes. That means they fake their appearance. That's why I said, suit doesn't make somebody godly. Say amen to that. They come to you, they fake their appearance as if they are godly. Sheep's clothing, they look innocent, they look godly, they look holy. But inwardly, they are wild, they are horrible. But how can you tell what is inside? Check his character. Off the pulpit, what do they do? Where do they go? Check that out. Check that out. Off the pulpit. Because you see, now I'm looking very holy. Am I not? Am I not? Yeah. So what makes me a godly man is not standing here. It's not pulpit. This thing is very deceptive. Yeah, my private life, what I do, is what determines who I am. What I do at home with my children. Whether my children can stand somewhere and say, Daddy is a good pastor. He's an honest man. He's a godly man. My children should be able to testify. My wife should be able to say that my husband is a holy man. Let's be praying. Hallelujah. Let's be praying. My friends and people close to me, even people in this church who go out about with me everywhere I'm going, they should be able to say that this man is a crook. And there are many people who call themselves men of God. I found out they are just crooks. 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 It's so disappointing. It's so disappointing. Crooks. One day I called one of my daughters in the church. I said, don't go to that fellowship again. Because that guy is a crook. I'll never mention the name. I said, don't go there again. But I just found out. These are crooks. Jesus said, beware. Their character will reveal them. Verse 16, he said, you will know them by what? Their fruits. He said, a good man will never demonstrate bad character. Consistently. You see, pretense is not consistent. Are you with me? Yeah, so I'm not talking about one time. We all do something wrong once in a while. Is it true? We all get angry sometimes. Is it true? Yeah. If you ask my children whether I get angry or not, they will tell you yes. And I scream at them. Sometimes I beat my children. Yeah, because when a child does the wrong and you don't beat him up, you know what you are doing? You are destroying your destiny. I beat my children if there's a need, once in a while. And most of the time, they know they deserve to be beaten. Most of the times, they know. Amen? They know that what they did is wrong. Long before I beat them, they know. But when it is a consistent practice that you demonstrate bad character in the house to your children, to your spouse, to your friends, to people around you, everywhere you go, your character is so horrible, it's so bad. And you call yourself a man of God. That's a problem. Yeah, that's a problem. Your consistent behavior must show godliness because you stand there for God. You represent God. Amen. So character is the number one test. A pastor or prophet who is defrauding people. It's a very questionable person. A pastor or prophet was sleeping with 3, 4, 5 people in the church. I know a church where the prophet was sleeping with 2 sisters. Even a fetish priest won't do that. They call it a taboo. But in church, it's happening. That cannot be a godly person. Are you hearing me? Or you don't agree with me? Yeah, it cannot be a godly person. What kind of God will use a man like that? Amen? What kind of God will use a man like that? I'm lost. It must not be God. It's another spirit. It is another spirit. I mean, horrible things are happening in church. In fact, more than at the shrine. There's a little sense of morality at the shrine. In church, it's horrible. Are you listening to me this morning? Because some of you still go to these same people. That's why I'm preaching like this today. You still go to the same people for prayer. I don't know what kind of God they pray to for you. Character. There are people, when you meet them, you should run away. You should run away. You should what? Run away. There are prophets who can lie. They can lie. Tell lies to get money from people. Money, money, money. Let's go to the next one. The second thing you check is attitude to money. Let's look at Micah 3:11. Can we read it all together? Ready, go. Uh-huh. Hallelujah. Is that her heads or the leaders? Or the people who sit in judgment? Let's say the judges, they judge for bribe, isn't it? They judge for bribe. Then the priests, before they teach, they say pay. Then the prophets, they say before consultation, pay. Yet, they lean on the Lord and say, it's not the Lord among us. God said, I will never be in a place like that. I will never be in a place where people are served on condition that they pay money. When you go to a church where the prophet is more interested in the money than in teaching the people, you should run away. I said, you should do what? You should run away. Hallelujah. You should run away. The scripture we just read in Acts 16, verse 16, the Bible said this lady was possessed with what? A spirit of what? Divination. And what did she do with the spirit? She made profit for the masters through fortune telling. So the spirit of divination, he says, pay, and then I will minister to you. Anytime you go somewhere, you see somebody want you to pay money, and do you know something? Most of the time, after you pay the money, they don't care about your soul. Do you know the Lord? Are you following the Lord? They don't care. They will not open one scripture. They will just say, what's your problem? Once you say it, they pray for you. They see 1, 2, 3 visions. Then the next thing they tell you that way, I have a special oil. It's going for 500. In fact, you want the more special one? It's going for 1,000. Then I have water, special one. It's going for 200. The more powerful one is going for 1,000. We have salt. You see, if you have the Holy Spirit and you are truly anointed by God, you will never, ever pursue money that way. Because you will just know that money is a matter of time. You just know. The anointing will make you know that money is a matter of time. Car is a matter of time. House is a matter of time. Why should I defraud you? Money. One church. They are selling oil. They are selling water. They are selling salt. They are selling charcoal. They are selling stones. Hey, stones. Brother Samson. Stones that you didn't create. You go and collect. And then you pray over it. You didn't do any work on the stone. Then you have the conscience to sell it to poor, helpless people who are in problems, who need help. And people go to these churches, they don't have money, they go and borrow to buy stones, to buy salt, to buy water. I mean, you can fetch water in a bottle and bring, I'll pray over it. You get a miracle if I pray over it for you, if that's your belief. I think you don't need that water, but if that's all you need, by me, bring water, let me provide it for you. Hallelujah. And listen, most of the times, people buy this thing, they get nothing happens in their lives. But do you know that when it gets finished, they'll go again? Do you know why? Because they're under a spell. It's a spell. Now listen, most of the time I've been accused that Pastor Yube doesn't like his members to get in close to other men of God. Pastor Yube doesn't like his members to go to other churches. Listen, this is the reason. Listen, I don't like my members getting close to the wrong people. Period. Period. Number two, I don't like my members going to the wrong churches. Yeah, one day I was telling the church council that, look, since I came to this, I've never pointed my finger at any church in Kalagoya and said it's evil before. Except one. Because God told me something is wrong there. And the people I told this thing, who are members who used to go, are confirming it now. That is true. I will never ever speak evil of a church that is of God. You know, a member of this church come one and say, Pastor, my wife has been going to this Pentecost camp at Shalom Sport. where they, you know, they pray around the building and stuff. So I don't want there to go there. I want you to stop it. And I said, oh, Pentecost is a good church. I mean, after ICGC, the next church I love most is Pentecost. I said, leave your wife alone. Let her go. A member of this church, I said, if she's going to pray, let her go and pray. Amen. Yeah. I've met my members in Jericho Hour. I've met my members in programs. I don't have any issue. Amen. Yeah. I have personally taken two of my members to Jericho Hour before to meet Bishop James Saab personally. I have asked people. I have arranged myself. I arranged for members of this church to go and see Prophet Dela over certain specific issues that I think he can handle better than me. More than 10 to 20 members in this church. Then my son, Pastor Bernard, I have arranged for him to pray for people either in this place or in their homes, more than 100. When somebody tells you that I don't want my members to get close to pastor, you should know it's a lie. The truth is that I don't want my members to go to the wrong place, because there are places when you go once, you will see that it's wrong, but you can't even stop going because there is a spell at the place. There is a spell. There are charms. They bury things. They call you. You wake up and you are going. May God deliver somebody today. Amen. I said, may God deliver you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yeah, spell. Sometimes you know that what he's saying to take your money is a lie. You know, as he's talking, you know it's a lie. But when you finish talking, he said, bring 5,000. You carry the money and you give it to him because you are under a spell. Because me, I don't cast spell on you. When I say give 1,000, you start calculating. You calculate children's school fees, Christmas. You calculate chicken and everything. And realize that you can't give me 1,000. Hallelujah. I will show you a scripture in Numbers 22 from verse 5. Numbers 22. Let's read it. Ready, go. To Balaam, son of Beor, at Beth Peor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of the people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come. Mm-hmm. Read on. Next verse. Is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. Verse 7. They departed with what? They departed with what? Hallelujah. So this man is a diviner, and they call him also prophet. He is working. Anything you want, once you can pay, it will be done. Hallelujah. When you meet somebody like that, you know it's not of God. Listen, it's not everything I can pray for you for, no matter the amount you give. Any godly person will tell you that. But these people, they know Balaam, if you want him to bless people for you, put money down, he'll bless. If you want him to curse people, put money down, he'll curse. If you want him to kill people, put money down, he'll kill. If you want him to take somebody's husband for you, put money down, he'll take it for you. If you want him to kill your boss so that you take his position, put money down. Hallelujah. That's why you must be careful who is your next in command, because you don't know where they are taking you. So why would this man retire so that I take his place? They calculate. They say, by the time he's retiring, me too, I must be retiring. They go and pay money so that you die. You shall not die. Amen. I said, you shall not die. Amen. Give me this in a Message Bible. Let's start with Amplified. And the elders of Moab and Midian departed with what? Their what? The rewards of foretelling in their hands. The reward of fortune telling in their hands. Hallelujah. A prophet who tells you if you don't pay money, he can't prophesy to you, he can't pray for you, is not of God. Are you hearing me or you didn't hear? Message Bible. It said the leaders of Moab and Midian were soon on their way with what? The fee for tax safely in their wallets. Charlie, are you coming well? Are you fully loaded? If you got money, put it down. The anointing will flow. Hallelujah. Now, let me state that this is different from when a true man of God asks people to give to God an offering. Amen? giving an offering in church is different from this. Are you following me? After all, the offering is not compulsory. The offering is not a prerequisite. Are you with me? So if I ask people come and give to God to support the project or to support something, it's different. This one, there will be somebody at the gate. I'll look for somebody who knows how to collect money well. Right, they come, they write your name. And then, why are you coming? And then you pay your money. Right at the gate, before you see me, I'll be inside in the office. Like by this time, I'm there. Very excited because all of you, 500. Oh, child, like today, in fact, I won't go home worried at all. And if you don't have that money to pay, you cannot see the prophet. Even if you see him, he won't mind you at all. He may even insult you and ask you to get out. The last thing, the person's relationship with God. Hallelujah. Acts 13, verse 6. When they had gone through the island of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer. They found what? Who is a sorcerer? Someone who is possessed with a spirit of divination and someone who practices witchcraft. Now listen, witchcraft is a practice. It's not a spirit. Hello? Witchcraft is what? It's a practice. It's not a spirit. Anybody who is demon possessed can practice witchcraft or can decide not to. So when we say witchcraft, we are talking about somebody who is possessed with demon and has allowed himself to be used by the demon to destroy the purposes of God and lives of people. So it's a practice. Are you with me? So these people are called sorcerers. They are possessed with demon. They use the demonic power to manipulate people, control people, destroy people. And this man was a sorcerer on an island. Amen? They found a certain sorcerer, but the Bible said he was also a false prophet. That means that this man was a sorcerer, but also calling himself what? A prophet. Please, are you following my argument? So what I'm trying to say is that if you want to discern a prophet, you must check, one, his character, two, his attitude to money, three, whether the person has any relationship with Christ. Amen. Amen. Whether the person has any relationship with who? With Christ. Very important. And you always find out, some of them don't know anything about Jesus. If they do, it's not personal. Amen. You'll never catch them praying, reading Bible. You always catch them drinking. You always catch them in hotels with girls. You always find them in the wrong places. I used to be close to a prophet. I got so worried. I said, I've never heard you say you're going on a retreat before. I've never heard you saying anything that spend any time with God. Anytime I go to this man, there's nothing godly I see around. I got worried. I tell you, because the supernatural is not an easy thing. Somebody's of God, it will show. His fear for God will show. His sense of reverence for God will show. Yeah, very important. Very important. His relationship with God. When I say relationship with God, I'm talking about current relationship with God. Because it's possible for somebody to start well as a true prophet and deviate later on. And I've seen that many times. That is why I don't have permanent friends. Oh yeah, people change for the better or for the worse. I don't have permanent friends. My only permanent relationship is the Holy Spirit. As long as you're on the side of the Holy Spirit, we are still friends. The day you shift, I will shift. Because people can, relationships are very, very powerful. They can influence you wrongly. Let me show you an example. 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. Look at this. It said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Now what happened? Now this one, you understand it better in the King James. King James. It said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. How do you explain this? The Spirit of God has departed. Where is he? He has departed, isn't he? So the evil spirit cannot come from the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord has departed. What this scripture actually means is that when the Holy Spirit departed, it allowed the evil spirit to trouble Saul. Do you get that? Please, do you understand? Amen. One day I told a man of God, I said, I knew you when we started. I knew your passion for God. I knew your values. The very things we used to condemn. Now you are doing it. Something is wrong. I can't get it. We can't get along unless you change. Listen, people change. So it's not about how he used to be 10 years ago. That's why I like working with people who know me long. Because only them can tell the pastor, I think now these days, the way you used to be on fire, the thing is changing. Hallelujah. So how do you judge prophecy? You judge prophecy by discerning the prophecy, whether it's of God, and you judge the prophet, whether he's of God. Amen? You won't judge a prophet three ways. One is his character. Two is his attitude to money. The third one is his relationship with God. Amen. I pray that the Lord will give you discernment so that the remaining days of your life, you will know how to handle, manage, and use prophecy to your advantage and not be deceived and not be destroyed. I pray for you that the Lord will give you discernment that anybody or any demonic spirit that wants to manipulate you and deceive you and destroy your destiny through visions or dreams or through prophecy, you will have the discernment to be able to tell the difference between the fake and the genuine in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that the Spirit of God will grant you ears that are very attentive to God. I pray for you that the Spirit of God will deliver you from every spirit of deception. Every spirit of deception programmed by the devil to destroy your life and to destroy your destiny. In the name of Jesus, I pray that may God continually speak to you. And by hearing his voice, may your steps be ordered. May your life be guided. May you walk into your destiny, into your blessing, into the fullness of your glory, all the remaining days of your life, in Jesus' name.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-331-1201. Remain blessed.